All right. It seems good. It seems solid. It seems like a reasonable amount of show. Shall we once again have sexual intercourse with this chicken?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. I can't believe you'd start the show with an F-bomb like that. That's inappropriate, sir.
Oh, I had no idea that you had started recording, so clearly not my fault.
Ironically, I started recording when you called, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Pamela, are you doing your job? Yes, Pamela is doing its job. Look at that.
Well, then.
Scribbling all this stuff down.
I feel that like I have been champ. Like...
Oh, I mean, lies of omission is not really a lie, right? I mean, I didn't tell you, but you don't care. It's just going to get edited out anyway. Hello, everybody. I'm Samus. He's Travis. This is Two Trolls and a Brew, a podcast all about, I don't know, what, trolling out your opponents? I don't know. I found another website. I think actually a friend of yours writes for this website, cardconfidence.com. They do the Will of the Council podcast, which I'm going to be totally honest, I think I listened to like one episode of, and I just haven't had a chance to download it since then. But I don't know, it seems like a good website. I think maybe we'll try submitting the podcast to them and see if it generates a little extra traffic. But anyway, the reason I brought it up is because they had a tagline that I felt was pretty good for like our show, our podcast. Everyday content from everyday players. Except, you know, replace everyday content with troll content from troll players. So there we go. I think that encapsulates our goals quite well. We wanted to get the value from putting you on tilt for playing cards that you think are bad, or using strategies you think are bad. That one really terrible card that Travis is in love with, Alter the Brood. It's not the best.
It's the best.
It's kind of the worst around. It's the worst around.
I mean, maybe if you're not playing any permanents.
I wish you would leave the shit on the ground. I definitely think we should spend more time singing.
I will always.
But that's okay. This week's show title, Alignment Wins? No, I don't think so. With a little bit of a subtitle here of Can't Find Oath Cards on Moto. To continue my ongoing series of FU Magic the Gathering Online. So, shall we get into the show?
You just can't find them from different...
I'm a big card hoarder person, and like it doesn't seem like the new cards are really in the bots yet that you can get a hold of. And I'm just looking for like commons and uncommons and stuff that I'm looking for. Mostly expedites. I think expedites would really push that Zada deck over the edge.
Yep.
And actually,
When I was testing it, it was more slip through space that was doing the job.
Slip through space? But I'm kind of tempted to try, and this could be a weird one, shoulder to shoulder, I think might also be very good.
Yep.
It's a lot more expensive. You're paying 3 mana, but it is a permanent increase. So I'm kind of curious. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think if a spell can target two players or two targets after when you clone it and you can reassign targets, I think you can assign
two.
I think you can assign two.
Well, yeah.
Which
me and some guys I played with have been over that.
Okay. Which basically means something like shoulder to shoulder, if I support just Zada with like five guys on the field, would basically, you know, copy five times. One target targets that guy, the other one you'd be able to target somebody else, and you should be able to make a massive army. So I would like to experiment shoulder to shoulder as well.
I did it with Press into Service.
Press into Service, a similar thing, right?
Yeah.
Except Press into Service is an instant, I think.
Oh, well, it's a sorcery, but it steals their creatures.
Okay.
So,
I'm thinking the blue one, that's an instant.
Yeah.
For blue and three.
Yeah, the one that...
I don't know the card names yet either.
It supports and then untaps all your creatures with a +1/+1 counter.
Yes. Yeah,
yep.
That's it. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm experimenting with it. I also kind of want to experiment with just making it, like, pure red. Because I'm not 100% sure you need to branch into white any longer now that you have Expedite to kind of replace the card draw effect. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm ready to experiment with some of these variations, but I just can't seem to find the cards on Magic Online, which is very irritating. I think I'll have to, like, jump to Court Card Hoarder's website and buy them directly from them to get them. Because I've looked at several bots, and I just... It doesn't, you know, I search directly for Expedite, and I look for a couple other Oath cards. And you can find the rares, but you can't find the commons and uncommons, which is very aggravating to me. And you can't search by the block yet, at least most of the time. At least the last time I looked, which was over the weekend. So I was pretty irritated. But this is my first pre-release online time. So I'm not real sure when things become readily available and when they're still hard to find with the pre-release and such. But, I don't know. It's going to be an exciting week, I think, maybe next week or the week after, when all these new cards finally make it to Magic Online, instead of me just experimenting with them at the local shop or in my imagination. It'll be nice to be able to actually get some reps in. So, last week, we jumped right into the nitty-gritty of the show, and we did not discuss our troll cards. So, I want to make sure that we don't forget that this week. I want to hit troll cards of the week at the beginning, and then I want to get into our week of magic. So, you have Starfield of Nyx written down.
Yeah.
It's one of the cards that I really love. We've kind of had like this love-hate relationship with it. But why do you have it down this week?
Well, with a bunch of new enchantments that just come into standard, I decided I wanted to attack with the oaths. Because not only when they come in do they do something, but they also have the potential to do other things with planeswalkers. And then just keep bringing them back, which... I found out through playtesting, bringing back Oath of Nyssa over and over again with Starfield and Nyx is a great thing.
I suppose if you could, you know, basically draw or tutor off your best three on the top and every turn is pretty solid.
Right.
Right? I mean, draw two cards a turn.
Yeah, it's essentially draw two a turn. Then.
I mean, it's better than draw two because you get a look and then draw.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it seems pretty strong.
So that's why I chose that. And then, you know, there's also the enchantments like Stasis Snare and the new one, Immolation Zone, which that would become like a 4/4.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just...
The new... It
removes an enchantment.
Exile a creature.
Yeah.
Sure.
A creature or enchantment, I believe it is. And then if you have 5 enchantments, it's a 4/4.
That's pretty good.
I mean,
it's a 2-for-1 if you can get it set up.
Right. Yeah, that's. And I put all this in a planeswalker deck that creates a ton of tokens, which makes. Actually, it kind of makes Kiora really, really effective.
Yeah, after we talked last week, I really want to do something more in-depth with Kiora, but we really didn't get into it. That's something else I wanted to talk about. I sent you a deck list last week.
Yeah.
Sometime, and when we were inspired. So I want to make sure to talk about that as well. Anyway, my troll card of the week this week is Drana's Chosen. Which, for those of you who are not super familiar, it is a rare from Oath of Zendikar. It's a black and 3 for a 2/2 Vampire Shaman ally with the cohort ability of put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tapped. this guy or lady did a huge amount of work for me on this week's Friday Night Magic. Basically, it took over a game against my wife in the semifinals, and then basically won me the finals. I was very impressed with it. You would think for a 4-mana 2-2 that puts 2-2 tapped creatures into play, it wouldn't be that great. But if they didn't attack and I didn't have to do something crazy, or I could attack with like a Vigilance 1-4 or something, being able to tap it into turn to make a 2-2 is just huge. Because a 2-2 is pretty, like, not, I don't want to say bulky in this format, but a lot of things are like one power creatures in this format. So it lives through a lot of combats. It pressures the opponents, I think, quite well. Just being able to make like 5 or 6 2-2s, it was a lot of fun. Though the card's quite good. But not so good that people are going to be really using them in standard. I think this is going to be one of those cards that's going to come down late after they've dealt with all your other removal or all your other creatures. They have no removal left or very little, and you can just go crazy.
Right.
With whatever you have left over, and you could do a lot of work with him. I use the 1/4s that gain a life when they're tapped. Did a lot of work with that. And overall, I was really, really impressed and pleased with it all night long. Okay, so tell me about your Hedron Alignment deck and how you did this weekend. I'm questioning your story here just a little bit.
Okay. So this week at FNM, I did play Hedron Alignment, and I went 3-2 with it. The first match, I played against a Rakdos colorless burn deck, I guess you would call it. The land base was obviously black-red, and it had a bunch of Devoid creatures that, or Devoid spells that did direct damage. And I ended up stabilizing against that, and that's how I beat that one. I did lose to Mono Green Eldrazi Ramp. It was just too fast, because this deck obviously does take some time to build up against, and I just couldn't race it. Then I played against Mardu Green, which I don't know if you saw that going, if you've seen that play or not. Have you seen that one?
It's like the basically splashing for sea drinos.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I've seen something kind of similar to it.
Okay.
It seems okay.
Yeah, so I beat that. The first game, he had a bunch of creature removals, and I don't have any creatures in the deck. So he was just basically sitting on a handful of cards while I was, getting to the combo. And then every time he played a creature, I would just kill it. And then the second game, he just overran me. And then the third game, as soon as I dropped the Hedron Alignment and wouldn't let any of his creatures happen, he just scooped. So he didn't want to deal with sitting for no reason. And then, what was the other game? I did beat Blue-Red Prowess with Mill, because I ended up putting Sphinx's Tutelage in the deck because I needed another win condition, since I don't really have that many ways to exile my whole deck. So I ended up beating that due to stabilizing with life and control. I can't remember the deck. Oh yeah, I lost to Black-White Allies. Then the deck itself, once it gets going, it's pretty hard to stop because of just how it, cycles through itself. I have 4 Outpost Siege, and for Monastery Siege. And then it just kind of steamrolls. Because, well, I'm obviously getting the cards that I want, and then I'm also getting, you know, through my deck as quick as possible. It just kind of rolls away with the game if you allow it to. But it's a very slow deck.
Yeah, a lot of things you have, a lot of these decks, if they have the time to set up and get going, are quite good. I just went through the website here, just kind of checking the last few episodes. I don't have a full deck list from you on this, so could you go ahead and send me one, and I'll be sure to post a copy of it in this week's show notes.
Yeah.
With any changes that you feel like you might want to add.
Yep. Well,
now that you've kind of had a chance to fiddle with it.
Right. What I can do is I'll send you the list that I played on Friday, and then what I want to do to change it also.
Okay. Well, I'll probably just post the updated list, but I might also do like the text list of
the first draft.
The first draft, so you can kind of see where it came from. But, you know, I'm interested in seeing it. I know we kind of talked about it a little bit back and forth with text messages. I still don't know if you really understand how 3-2 is versus 2-3. But I listened to your story, and it sounded like you're trying to convince me that you won three of the games. But, I'm not so sure. You know what I'm talking about? I think it might be... You might be a little bit drunk.
Well,
that's okay.
How do you exactly think that I'm not, like, telling the truth?
I'm not so sure, like, oh, I stabilized and then won. I'm like, all right, well, I believe that you feel that way, but,
well,
I
have eight cards that gain me life.
That is true.
Board wipes and creature removal.
That does sound good. It does sound like if you can get there... I don't know. That seems like a soft win condition to me. But, you know, I'd like to see your tweaks, and hopefully we can make it go. Speaking of things that seem kind of weak to me, was it last weekend that we were discussing somebody, I think it was a Star City Games Open maybe, that was wearing the green Power Ranger outfit?
Yeah.
And a lot of you may or may not have seen this. Our group actually was passing... Someone took a screenshot.
That was me.
I think it was you. And posted it. And basically it turned into a huge discussion moment in our different areas. Was this in the Salina area, Magic?
Yeah.
I feel like it was. Yeah, there it is. And basically, you grabbed a screenshot, and I think we started with just poking fun of this guy walking around in the Green Power Ranger outfit, and then it turned into, like, a rough idea of what this deck was, and I became really inspired with the idea of what this deck was. And you kind of gave us a rough idea. You're basically saying this is the line that I actually got from you. The deck he's playing is insane. 30 creatures, 6 spells, 4 man lands, 16 of those creatures has flash, and then there's 4 matter reshapers and company. And I kind of went, you know what? That doesn't sound bad. So, I don't know what his exact list was, but this is what I kind of came up with. 2 Phantom Seers, 4 Bounding Krakus, 2 Catacomb Shifters, 2 Kozilek Shrieker. So I think that's all. No, I got more. I have more non-flash guys in here. 4 Matter Reshapers. 4 Ruination Guide. 4 Solgar Sorcerer. 4 Vile Redeemers. 4 Void Grafters. 2 Swarm Surge. 4 Collected Companies. And then the mana base is... I feel very, very good for enabling all this colorless stuff. 4 Hissing Quagmire, 4 Land of War Waste, 4 Lumbering Falls, 4 Ruins of Oren Reef, 2 Seagate Wreckwatch, 2 Sunken Hollow, and 4 Yamaya Coast. So I went 3 colors, right? That lets me use both Pain Lands for 8 colorless symbols, but they're always live. It lets me use 8 Man Lands with Hissing Quagmires and Lumbering Falls. And then I also had the advantage of using the 4 Runes of Orin Reef, which puts a 1/1 counter on a colorless creature that came into play this turn, I think.
Okay.
So that lets me use things like Phantom Feather, Catacomb Shifter, Kozilek Shrieker, Void Grafter, Matter Reshaper, Ruination Guide. Like, all these guys are colorless. And then as for things that have flash on their own, Void Grafter has flash on his own, Sulungar Sorcerer has flash on his own, Bounding Krakus has flash on his own. I thought I had one other flash guy. Maybe Vile Redeemer has flash. I think that's a 3/3 for 3 that you can spend an extra 1 to make a 1/1.
Right.
And then using things like Ruination Guide, Catacomb Shifter, and Collected Company gave me this really strong colorless theme, I feel. I don't know. I really like this idea in a void. And if we take a look at it, the mana base has got a couple expensive cards because it's running the man lands and stuff like that. But that it's not too bad right now. The 4 Collected Companies are pretty expensive. But the only other card in this deck that cracks even close to a dollar for 4 of them is the Matter Reshapers, which I feel is going to be a strong staple right now anyway. And it's something, if you're interested in playing Standard, you possibly want to take a look at. So in my mind, realistically, this deck is relatively inexpensive. The Matter Reshapers are cards you probably want to get. Collected Companies is probably a card you already want to get if you don't already have. And then, of course, we'll always suggest grabbing man lands or dual lands whenever possible. So in my brain, this deck is relatively budget and I think could be very, very good. You have a little bit of control elements with, like I said, the Sulungar Sorcerer. So you have a little bit of surprise counterspell. Of course, it also is just a 2/1 blocker or attacker out of nowhere. The Void Grafter gives, what is it called? Hexproof. Till end of turn, so you could do that. Bounding Krakus can just tap a guy to get it out of the way, or tap a guy to keep you from getting crushed on the attack back the turn that you alpha to set up for the turn, the next turn win. 2 Swarm Surge, you know, like I said, almost all these guys either have evasion or are colorless, which I feel is pretty strong. I don't know. What do you think of this deck?
Well,
give me a quick 5-minute critique here.
Okay, so first, you know, if you are putting in black, and I'm surprised you didn't do this with your list, because you spoke so highly of the card, Unamog's Defiler, that 2/4 with flash, blue and black, the void.
The reason why I didn't was because
there's no...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's no exiling in their graveyard.
There's no exiling.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're including black, I think that's still a good card to throw in. You know, maybe just a 1 or 2 of just for their, you know, obviously they still have Delve that they can still work with. So, I mean, I think that might be something that, that you could put in the sideboard with this deck. But... oh, I really think if you're throwing black, you need to have Murderous Cuts for removal. Because that guy, he just had the, just blue-green, and it was just doing numbers over on people. Just because of how quickly you throw everything.
See, I was thinking about running something like a Murderous Cut or something along those lines. And I just kept coming down to I hopefully can just rush through. 24 lands, 30 creatures. My spells either... I'm going to sneeze again. 24 lands, 30 creatures. My only 6 spells right now are either 4 Collected Companies, which is essentially 2 creatures in this deck, or 2 Swarm Surge to just kind of push through for that overrun type effect.
Yeah.
Again, because there's just so many guys. Kozilek Shrieker basically is almost unblockable. So, you know, a flyer here, Death Toucher there, being able to just tap something down. Like, I feel it's very easy to get, once you get going on this deck, it just steamrolls, I think. And then if you, something happens and, like, you overextend and they wipe, you can easily fall back on your 8 man lands to kind of close out the rest of the game. So, I don't know, I see your points, and I don't disagree with you. I'm just not sure where I would make room for them in the main deck. Maybe you take and you pull out something like the Solemgar Sorcerer and just put in the removal spells. So you lose an evasion flash creature for removal spells to push through your colorless guys.
I was thinking Swarm Surge.
I like the idea of the Swarm Surge because it is like that overrun effect out of nowhere. A lot of decks, in my opinion, get shut down by like 1 or 2 big blockers. Especially in this particular environment when people are trying, some guys are trying to go really big, and you're like, well, I can't push through to kill you with my 4 creatures because you have these 2 big blockers. Where something like Swarm Surge, you could preemptively pump your team in such a way that it makes it very difficult for them to either make those blocks or live through the combat.
Okay.
So if anything, I almost want to add more Swarm Surge and cut the extra colorless or colored creatures. Because if we go through this and look, Bounding Krakus and Solemgar Sorcerer are my only colored creatures. Everything else is colorless, which I think is a very interesting concept in a deck like this. Where Bounding Krakus, like I said, does double duty with either getting a guy out of the way or making one of your guys able to, you know, double surprise block, you know. Not only is this guy untapping, and I also have this 3/3 to double block and take down one of your guys or whatever. He was really strong, but I could see making some adjustments here or there. And then, of course, the only 2-drop being the 2 Phantom Feeders, I could kind of see making those 4. I would like to have them more reliably as a way to take over the game in the late game if you were to get there. The same reason why I put in the 2 Seagate Wreckages. That ability to tap, 4 mana, essentially, to draw a card is very strong.
Yeah, without having the possibility of it being countered.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... I think we got a reasonably good first draft here, and I would like to see somebody try it. And I will potentially put this deck together for a Friday Night Magic here in a couple of weeks, because it just seems like right up my alley. I don't know. Speaking of a quick Friday Night Magic, I didn't talk about my Friday Magic. We drafted for the first time. We had a couple of sealeds before that, and I just kind of want to. I'm going to take a proper screenshot, but I kind of want to run through what I was thinking and how I was thinking it roughly. My first pick was that Drawn is Chosen, which I feel is a very strong card. And then my next 2 picks were Vampire Envoys, which are the 1/4 flyers that gain life whenever they're tapped. And then I was kind of all over the place for a little while. I think I ended up with 3 Stalking Drones out of the first pack. A Kozilek Shrieker, which I felt very good about. But other than like those handful of 2/2 green creatures, my entire first pack was black, essentially. I didn't have a second color picked out. I could have gone white. I could have went black. I was pretty open, and I felt pretty good about it. Somewhere along the lines, I picked up a Malachar Soothsayer. That is the 4/4 for 5 that Phyrexian Arenas you, which I felt was pretty great. And then, basically, I opened up a Sylvan Advocate pack 2. So I picked that guy up, and I basically went, all right, I'm definitely green-black allies. And then I ended up taking, like, this Mackenzie Air Knot, a Korskai Climber, and something else that was white along the way. And I thought, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm white-black after all. And then pack 3 came along, where I got a Beast Collar Savant, a Lantern Scout, a Cliffside Lookout, the War Collar that gives all your guys +2/+2. I got that pretty early. I got a Nessa's Renewal, I got an Angel of Renewal, and I got a Chandler. And I just felt like this deck came together in such a way that I was basically unstoppable if I could get greedy enough to make it work. For removal, I picked up a Complete Disregard, a Grip of Desolation, an Oblivion Strike, and a Tar Snare. And, I was really pleased with the deck overall. Like I said, I'll take a picture and post it. And then I picked up a few other things that I will also take a picture of, because I'm curious whether or not I should have been playing some of these things. So, if you're listening to this and you have done some drafts, I will post my full deck list, and then my sideboard, and I would like to see what other people would like to do. It's still a new format, and I clearly don't have a total grasp of the format, even though I did manage to win the first week by being super greedy and just kind of getting lucky, I think, most of the time. I did win off of Mulligan to 5, which I felt was pretty strong, and I lost to what I thought was a reasonable keep of 5 lands and 2 drops. So, again, I'm not entirely sure what this format's supposed to be like, and I'm hoping that watching like the videos that are coming out now this week and whatnot, I will figure it out. Do you have any thoughts yet on the draft format at all?
I haven't drafted except for once, so I can't really say anything about it. I have no clue. I think in draft you're just gonna have to go through with the same way that, I mean, most people do when they draft, which is just hit evasion and removal.
Sure.
And if you happen across a bomb, pick it up. I don't necessarily think that it's fast enough for an aggro deck in draft, but...
Yeah, and my wife actually did have a pretty aggressive deck in this format, and she was able to beat me down pretty easily. That one game, I said I had 2 drops and 5 lands. She was able to defeat... to crush me pretty handily. But the next couple of games, I got in a situation where I was able to drop these Vampire Envoys and start stabilizing my life. And then I drew like a Lantern Scout, and I played a Lantern Scout. So then all of a sudden I was attacking for 2 and gaining 4 a turn pretty consistently, plus keeping back blockers. And it just kind of took over over the game. There was actually one of the 2 games, I think I ended up gaining like 32 life, which was very good because I was at 6.
Okay.
So if you think about it, that means I had 52 and I had 6 life left when I finally won the game. So she had done, 36 points of damage to me in the course of the turn of the game. So it was 7, right? 46 life. She had done 46 damage to me, and that was just like absolutely insane that I was able to pull that win out, just because her deck was so aggressive. So I don't know. Maybe my deck was just overly full of life gaining cards.
Right.
And other people would not be so strong. But for me last week, having those evasive creatures that also gained you life was just, it seemed unbeatable. Anyway, shall we get to some of the meat of the show now that we kind of spent what seems like forever,
sure,
talking about things that aren't super important. We have a Pro Tour this weekend. It's a modern Pro Tour, and we had a big band, a couple of big bands last time we had the bands, 2 weeks ago.
They weren't that important.
Well, I mean, for the meta, it shook it up real well, right?
Yeah.
So the Splinter Twin enchantment is gone, and the Summer Bloom from the Bloom deck is gone, which projections say that those decks in and of themselves are gone. It does look like five-color Kiki Jiki decks are making a little bit of a push. I know that I find them to be very intriguing, but it really does look like Summer Bloom is gone. I didn't think it'd be gone, but apparently it's definitely gone now. So I want to know what you think will make a impression this weekend in this new modern format.
This weekend, for some reason I just feel now that Splinter Twin and Amulet Bloom are done, I kind of think that Grixis Delver is going to make a comeback. And if not Grixis Delver, then definitely Jund.
See, I would not disagree with you at all on the Grixis Delver. I think that it has a lot of very powerful cards, and it's got excellent staying power. I'm less comfortable saying Jund. I think the players who play Jund and are good at Jund will just keep being good at Jund, but I don't think the masses are going to switch over to Jund. I would be okay being wrong here. I think it's a good deck, and I have a lot of the cards for it. I just, like everything else in Modern, I'm missing the mana base. But, yeah, I'd be alright if it was that. Personally, I think I kind of touched on the five-color Kiki deck. I think that'll do quite well. But I think that if I were to pick two decks, it would be Infect, and then the, like, either the Mono Black or the Black White Eldrazi deck.
Right.
With the possibility of people latching on to the green red Eldrazi deck. In fact, I just wrote down Eldrazi. I think the new Eldrazi cards plus the old Eldrazi cards are just incredibly strong right now in Modern. And I think with just a little bit of work, I think they're going to make a big, big push this weekend. So in my mind, the decks to beat, if you can figure out a way that beats Infect and Grixis Delver and then has a very, very good game against the Eldrazi, I think that person can easily take down the Pro Tour. Is that a Jund player? Could be.
Most likely it's just going to be Boggles. Something boring.
You know, if Boggles has a good showing, I would be incredibly surprised and impressed. Personally, I just don't think Boggles is consistently good enough to do anything, and I think it's too easy to shut down. But, like you said, you kind of snuck on me with this Jund, and Jund, I think, beats Infect, right?
Yeah.
And could Jund take out this Eldrazi list? Possibly. Like, at least might be closer than not. It just comes down to, can it defeat Grixis Delver or not? And that's where I'm not so sure. Like, in the hands of Reed Duke? Probably. In the hands of Samus Garobo? Probably not. So, but that's okay. I'm not going to the Pro Tour anyway, so it doesn't matter. If you were shuffling one of these up, Travis, of those five, let's call them five, maybe even six, the two Eldrazi decks, the Infect, Grixis Delver, and Jund, so that's five. Oh, and the five-color Kiki Jiki. So of those six decks, what would, and you had all the cards, what would you sleeve up for a big tournament this weekend, like a Pro Tour or a GP or like a PTQ or something like that. What would you...
Grixis Delver.
Grixis Delver.
Oh.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Like I said, I'm looking more at the Kiki-Jiki, the five-color Kiki-Jiki. One, because I love Kiki-Jiki. I've always loved Kiki-Jiki. And I think that it just has the potential to come out of nowhere and just crush people. But if I this was the metagame I was expecting, was Infect, Eldrazi, and Jund, I would probably agree. I'd shuffle up the Grixis Delver.
Right.
And I think in the mirror match, it comes down to just skill and sideboard options. So I'd be perfectly fine making that switch over. Anything else before we get to our email that you want to kind of talk about? I mean, I don't know, we kind of talked about decks. We talked about the Pro Tour.
We did everything so far.
Yeah, we've kind of ran through everything, so maybe we do just hit this email. Matthias, I think is how we say it. It's Matthias. Says, I think I found a decent way of how to play a truly colorless deck in Standard by keeping a high power level on the cards. He sent us a deck list. I think if you guys like it, I would like to see any feedback. Some strong features are turn 4 and 5, 7-7 or 9-9 Trampler. Eldrazi mimics fairly easily, becoming 4-4s through 9-9s on turns 3 and 5, or 3 through 5. The 4 Matter Reshapers, Thought Knot, Reality Smasher, Spatial Contortion, are super high power level. And then Spatial Contortion actually being able to use the plus 3 power because most of the targets are high toughness in this deck with Trample. And then a comfortable mana base. So let's take a quick thumb through this, and I will grab a screenshot of this deck and share it as well. 4 Walker the Wastes, 4 Matter Reshapers, 4 Thought Knot Seers, 4 Spatial Contortion, 4 Eldrazi Mimics, 4 Reality Smasher, 4 Titan's Presence, 2 Swords of the Amethyst, 2 Hedron Crawler, 2 Endbringer, 2 Endless Ones, and then a mana base of 2 Mirror Pool, a Seagate Wreckage, a Sanctum of Ugin, 2 Sanctum of Ugins, a Ruins of Oren Reef, and 18 Wastelands, giving you 24 lands and 32 creatures?
Four other spells?
We have eight non-creatures.
Okay, so 24, 32, 28 creatures.
So it seems pretty high. In my opinion, the biggest problem with this deck really comes down to why are you forcing your mana base to be wastes in this format? Like, I get it. Walker the Waste is a reasonable card. It is 4 mana for a... or 5 mana for a 4-4. With...
granted,
you know,
if
all your mana's are...
if you play it on turn 5, then it's a 9-9.
It could very easily be a 9-9 on turn 5. That is true. I think he's really trying to push the Eldrazi Mimic to... with things like Walker the Waste and Matter Reshaper, or not Matter Reshaper, Thought Knot Seer, to be very aggressive. And I'm just not sure how that's going to work all the time. I do really like Reality Smasher. I don't love Hedron Caller in this deck. I think it...
what's the Hedron Caller do again?
It's the 0-1 for 2 that taps for a colorless.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think that might be too slow in this deck.
Well, the problem is that the converted mana cost of this thing is crazy. You've got 4 twos, and then your next... you got 4 threes, 4 fours, 4 fives, and 2 sixes, and then, of course, you have Endless One. Like, this deck isn't even running probably the best colorless aggressive card out there right now. Ghostfire Blade. Like, I would easily put in Ghostfire Blade over Hedron Crawler.
Yeah.
And potentially cut something like this Endbringer to round out the set and just try to win by turn before then. You know, you drop the Blade on turn one, you play a Mimic on turn two. Even if you can't drop something like a Thought Not Seer,
what about the other highly powerful Crawlerless card that's in Magic right now?
Which one are you talking about?
Hangerback Walker.
I thought about Hangerback Walker, but it is very, very slow. And this deck wants to be playing... Like I said, I think the strategy is you drop your Eldrazi Mimic on two, and you're able to... drop like a Sword of Amethyst or something. See, I would probably lose the Sword of Animist as well. I realize that he's using it to power out Waste, which is pretty good. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you keep the Sword of Amethyst, but you're talking about 4 mana to get your first land out of your deck. Where I'd rather have a +2/+2 for 1 extra mana. Like, I think I would definitely cut the Sword of Animist and the Hedron Crawlers and run 4 Ghostfire Blades.
Okay.
Just to start. Maybe leave the Sword of Animus and cut the Endbringers, I'm not sure. But like, I just feel this curve is too high for the creatures. And I'm not 100% sold on Eldrazi Mimic being able to carry the early game by itself. You do have Titan's Presence and Reality Smasher, or not Reality Smasher, what is it called? Spatial Contortion to try to get early game out of the way.
Right.
As a 3 mana removal spell and a 2 mana removal spell. But seems risky. Like, to me it just seems better to play your Soul Fire Blade on 1, play your Mimic on 2, equip your Mimic on 3, attack, keeping Spatial Contortion up, or even Warping Whale.
Yeah, I was about to say that too.
And then be able to drop. I like Warping Whale in this format, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Because for early game, it'll get rid of a creature, it'll stop a sorcery, which it stops a target red creature creation pretty well. This counters a sorcery. I mean, that gets rid of 2 creatures and 3 creatures.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts a lot of our decks, or my decks, I should say. Like I said, I think Warping Whale would be an excellent one to put in the main, also. And even if all you do is you drop it to make a 1/1 that you sacrifice to drop a Walker of the Waste early, you know, you drop that a turn early. That seems quite good to me as well. So, I don't know, I like it. Let's see, there's the sideboard here. 2 Ulamogs, 2 Rune Processor, 2 Oblivion Sower, 2 more Hedron Archives, or 2 Hedron Archives, not Hedron Crawlers, Hedron Archives. 1 Kozilek, the Great Distortion, another Inbringer, a Cranial Archive, 1 Warping Whale, 2 more Crawlers, and an Ugin. So yeah, I don't know. It seems really rough for me not to put the blue in here. For I had to look at my list. For the Ruination Guide. Like, it seems really hard for me not to run blue for Ruination Guide. It seems really hard to not run there's at least one other blue card I can't think of off the top of my head. Some sort of counterspell capabilities, I think.
Well, even with colorless counterspell, you have Void Shatter and Horribly Awry.
Yes, that's true. I don't know. It's questionable. I'd have to see it run, I think, to really
judge it.
to judge it. But according to this, the main deck is $130. The sideboard is currently at $140. So according to this particular website that he sent it in to us at, you would be spending $270 for this list, which is, I don't want to say out of my price range, because a lot of these things I'll pick up while drafting.
Right.
But it is out of my price range.
There's actually another creature that I think might go well in this. Kozilek's, I can't remember the name now. But it's the 5-drop 4/4 that you pay a colorless to make target creature not be able to block it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Isn't that... I thought that was one of these. No, it's not. I think the Pathfinder.
Yeah, Pathfinder.
I think it's another one of those... I think that's another one of those cards that's just too expensive. Like, I think the other possibility is running Kozilek Shrieker, which is a 3/2 for a black and 2. Pay colorless, it gets menace and fire, and +1/+0. Son of a bitch. My manly sneezes, you guys. Basically, it's colorless fire breathing plus menace, which seems amazing. I definitely see taking my Eldrazi aggro deck and definitely pushing it colorless and black a lot harder. For online play. And I will potentially keep the red in there just for the a little bit of burn touching here or there and the give haste guy. But honestly, I think if this deck was a black colorless, it would just be that much stronger.
Right. I definitely think that the deck itself is solid as it is. I just do agree that some things should change.
Disagree that it's a strong deck. It's just like
say you disagree that it is?
No, I think it is strong. But I think it's like a 7, and if you were to add the black, it would take it to like an 8, 8.5.
Okay.
I don't think it'd be I don't know where it becomes a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 deck. Maybe with, depending on how you run your sideboard, if you could figure out a way to make it a transformational sideboard to just really go over the top of like a control deck, maybe that would make the difference. But doing stuff like 2 Ulamogs and a Kozilek just doesn't feel like enough to me. Kozilek, I think, is quite good. You still draw the cards even if it doesn't resolve. But an Ulamog is fine in the sense that you still blow up 2 things if it doesn't resolve. But you want that card to resolve if you're bringing them in.
Right.
Where you can't push through, like if they have 3 counterspells or something, like you're just not going to be able to get through if you try to go over the top of a control deck. And I definitely think that a really fast start of an Atarka Red, or what I'm going to call the Zada deck, could potentially overwhelm this deck before it gets started, just because the converted mana cost is so high.
Okay.
I know. I'm really curious. I'd like to know more how it runs. I kind of like this debtstats.net. There we go. Debtstats.net website. Gee, me Christmas. That's a motherfucking tongue twister for me. It's got a nice little breakdown here of creatures and converted mana cost. So the curve on this thing, it's really, really heavy on the on the twos according to this, which does not seem right to me. How does it have so many two drops? What else is two in this thing? Eldrazi Mimic.
Yeah. Spatial Contortion.
Spatial Distortion. I guess sort of Amethyst, Hedron Crawler. I really don't think a Hedron Crawler is a two drop, I guess. I mean, it is, but I don't know. It's questionable. So, yeah, I guess there's some. But the curve is so lopsided on the back end. Like there's 8-5 casting cost cards.
Right, and with no real ramp.
You're one Hedron Caller. You're two sort of Amethyst.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not reliable to call it that. You do have a 40% land, 43% creatures, 17 spells, I feel is probably pretty good. I don't know. I would like to see it played. I just personally had the feeling that you don't want the Hedron Crawler, you don't want the Endbringer, you want to bring in the Ghostfire Blades, and then you probably want to, like, mix and match, cut a Titan's Presence or two, cut something else down to two to run four Warping Wells in the main, I think.
Yeah, I think that's better.
I just think that you need that extra push, so you could drop that Walk of the Waste on turn four, or you can counter that removal spell. Or, like I said, even just if you just need to play a 1-1 for a block or whatever, exile a thing with one. Because it's one or less, right? So it hits Jace. I'd have to look up Warping Whale. I think it hits Jace.
No, I think Warping Whale, it says...
Go, get it. Gather.
Warping Whale. All
right.
Exile target creature with power or toughness, one or less.
One or less. So it hits Jace. You could potentially knock out a huge number of the target red list. I just feel like it's a really, really great card right now. And I would run four of those in the main. Somewhere.
Now,
I put those in, I put Ghostfire Blades in.
Now, let's say, this is just actually kind of a rules question that I just thought of really quick. So let's say they activate Wandering Firmoil. The blue-red land, and you go to Whale it. Now, it says target creature with power or toughness, one or less. So, let's just say it's a 1-4 when you try and get rid of it. Now, if they switch it over to a 4-1, does that still get rid of it since...
I think it still meets the targeting requirements. Because it's not a choose, get rid of a target creature with a power 1 or more, choose, get rid of a target creature with toughness.
Right.
I think it constantly checks. Technically, this would be like a level 2 or 3 judge question. Because it kind of talks about a continuous effect or a compound if kind of question.
Right.
But this is not a compound if, so it's not too bad. To me, in my brain, again, looking at it like I would a programming situation, as long as it meets the criteria, it's still a valid target.
Okay.
So the criteria would be power or toughness, one or less. So it should be fine. But, I think this will be a card that you're going to see a lot of play this weekend. Potentially this weekend. At the next standard Pro Tour, this card will be very, very strong.
Right.
I think a lot of people will be playing it. And, which kind of means that the enchantment decks are going to do very well in standard, I think. Because this doesn't stop enchantments at all. Doesn't know what to do about it. Alright, guys. We're going to try something a little different this week. I actually had thought about this for quite a while. And I want to ask Travis. Travis, if there was the four-card limit was gone, right? What do you think would be the best card in Standard? Exquisite. Or the best deck in Standard?
It would be a blue-red Exquisite Firecraft deck.
Well, Exquisite Firecraft doesn't go to the head. Wouldn't it be the new shock?
It does.
Oh, Exquisite Firecraft. Never mind. Sorry. That's the four damage one.
Right.
I was thinking the three mana one. Or the, sorry. The one mana one that does three damage, but it doesn't do a creature.
No. Yeah, I think it would be an Exquisite Firecraft deck, simply because
it's uncounterable if you have played a couple.
Yeah. And if they're not, you know, throwing away your, if they're not getting rid of your graveyard, then, I mean, you really just have to play five spells to win.
Is there a way to Cranial Extraction a spell right now?
Not a,
I feel like there is, right?
Not a non-creature spell.
Okay.
I know Infinite Obliteration gets a creature, but I think
right.
It is.
Well, and doesn't Crumbling Dust do a land?
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's just the way to go.
Yeah, because, I mean, you just play five Exquisite Firecraft, and that's the game, as long as they don't gain life. Which, okay.
Something a little closer to, like, oh, shite. Call of the... What's the one that makes two Eldrazi 1-1s? Call
the
Scion. Something? Call the Scion?
Yeah.
Like, I was actually kind of thinking like a Call the Scion kind of deck, personally. But you very well could be right. Like you said, I'd have to cast a lot more well the Scions, or call the Scions, to get going, even though I would have the mana to kind of keep them going.
Right.
So, like on turn, say on turn three, I make two guys, play a land on turn four. I can make four guys after I attack for two,
mm-hmm.
potentially. And you do, that's 8 points of damage to me. So I think you just out-damage me, assuming that you get all the cards.
Well, I figure if you're going blue-red, then obviously Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time.
No, sure. I didn't even think about that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's a interesting question to ask sometimes. Because my first thought was like, well, do you just run like 18 Siege Rhinos or something?
Right. Well, let's see, when you first sent me that question, it was like, you said, a world without the 4-of rule. And I just kind of thought, okay, well, we're going less than 4. But then you posted here on the show notes a no 4-card limit. So I'm like, oh, okay, more than 4. So when you first said that, I was like, oh, are we going to build a Magic for a standard singleton?
That would be an interesting project to do.
Everything just be restricted to one?
That would be an interesting question. But no, I meant remove the card limit.
Right.
And I think that this is an interesting thought challenge to kind of help. Because if we go into Modern, we go into Legacy, we go into different places, I'm kind of curious where our brains kind of go. I think it's a good thought question. And I'm curious what others would think. Do we go to the same place? Do you do something
Modern or Legacy?
Like
it's
Travis
just did? Lightning Bolt.
Well, that's what I thought at first too, but I'm not so I'm not 100% confident in that.
You're not confident?
Because
15 Lightning Bolts and then
no, because let's pretend that's what the meta looks like, right?
Okay.
15 Lightning Bolts. Well, then the guy who has 10 ley lines that say you can't target me wins, right?
I guess. Well, I guess in
So, I mean, again, you got to be looking at how that meta is going to change with, because, yeah, that was my first impression, too, was like, okay, well, I'll just run. That's kind of why I was thinking, oh, you're going to play the Million Shock deck, right? That's because that's where my brain went when you said it. 40 bolt. And I was like, well, no, because in Modern, you'd have that ability, but to do it in Standard, it's very, very expensive. It's like 6 mana to have that effect, as opposed to free.
Right.
So, well, I'm not sure what it would be in Modern.
It's 4 mana in Standard. That artifact that gives you Hexproof costs 4.
I thought that cost 6.
Orbs of Warding?
Yeah. Am I wrong? Is it cheap?
I thought it was 4.
Orbs of Warding. 5 mana.
Oh, well, see.
You have Hexproof.
We're both wrong. Target
creature damage to you for 1. I mean, I feel like I was closer to right than you were.
Well, if we're going off of like the Price is Right rules, you overbid, so therefore I am the automatic winner.
That's true, but there's a much bigger difference between 4 and 5 than 5 and 6.
Really?
Like it's a hell of a lot easier to go, "Oh, I budgeted 6 mana for this 5 drop. Oh, I'll just play it on turn 5 then instead." As opposed to, I'm going to play this 4 drop and go, "Oh, this thing costs 5. Maybe I'll top deck a land to win." No, sir. That's a huge difference. This guy's artwork is awesome, by the way.
What guy?
This word, Orbs of Warding?
Oh, just the overall artwork for the card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The artwork for that card is sweet. I've never really looked at it because the card is not good. All right. Well, I think that's a show, Travis. I appreciate you having to take the time out of your busy day off to record. If you would like to send us an email, just like Matthias did, that would be the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. We highly look forward to those. I'd like to hear about all the different questions we've kind of threw out there in the air. What would you think is the best deck in Standard if there was no 4-card limit? If you could have any number of let's say 2 cards, what would that world look like to you? Again, that email is the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. Of course, you could also send us a tweet instead. I'm Samus Garobo. He's TurtlePower319. Please check me out on twitch.tv. I'm again Samus Garobo. It's a little bit of a theme. And our home website is SamusGarobo.com. I don't know, Travis, you have any closing thoughts for us today? I still say 5 is closer to 6, or 5 is closer to 6 than 5 is closer to 4.
Yeah, but I grew up on the Price is Right, and overbidding is always bad.
You grew up on it? Okay, so what's the host name of the Price is Right?
Currently?
Sure. I just want to hear you say any one of them.
Currently, it's Drew Carey, or it was Bob Parker.
Maybe he does actually know all this stuff about the Price is Right. You're not going to tell me that Bob Barker was your dad, are you?
No. Why would I do that?
It's a storyline from a semi-popular TV show.
It's not that popular. I mean, I guess some people have changed their whole boat around.
I thought How You Met Your Mother was pretty great.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And the mother was super hot.
There's quite a few hot.
Oh, yeah. No, that show was full of hotties. Allison Hannigan.
Yeah.
I secretly love Allison Hannigan. She's my favorite. I could do this all day long, but
oh, I thought we were still like 10 minutes. I still thought we were like talking about how I was right about the Price is Right. Troll on,
everyone.